This week on RSVNB Update, a date has been set for the final sunset of the Java client. We reminisce and share our thoughts on the past and future of NXT. We then recap Farming 120 and Herblore 120, and finally a big offer in the realm of dinosaur breeding. This is RSVNB Update, episode 754, recorded Thursday, December 5th, 2019, The Dinosaur Breeding Project. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSVNB Update this week, 1 week after our episode on 120 Farming and 120 Herblore. We are back. Tanis, you're here as you are each and every week.
Thank you, Shane, with more Farming and Herblore.
That's right. And lots of, we're going to have a bit of a discussion on how that's going after the fact that we got some huge news this week to talk about, of course. But first, before we get to that, we just got off of a huge recording of our monthly bit, another good one. Thank you to Sirion for producing that. It was really, really quite fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, had a good time.
It really was. Anyways, but you are Tanis79 in game, and I am Shane12088, and we are going to get underway and talk about, you know, the fixes to the 120 Farming and 120 Herblore update. But before we do that, we actually got some news that, you know, we didn't think it would happen this quick, but lo and behold, they mentioned they were thinking of sunsetting the Java client, and we now have a date for when this will happen. December 18th, the Java client for RuneScape will be shut down. And, you know, I think we just need to take stock here for a moment and remember what this realizes.
Should we play taps?
No, I don't think we need to do that. Okay. Because going back to 2003 when RuneScape 2, or sorry, 2004 when RuneScape 2 came out, and 2003 prior to that for Classic, it was a Java game that ran in a Java web applet in your web browser, which meant you could just open up Internet Explorer, go to runescape.com, click play, and it would load up right in your browser. This was, of course, the time when you had, you know, little flash games around that would hold your attention for 5 minutes at a time. And, you know, this was different. It used Java, and it's held people's attentions at this point for, you know, 19 years, RuneScape, that is. And the Java client is going away. It enabled so many people to get into game. And, you know, it's really, for all intents and purposes, just become a shadow of what the game used to be from a technical perspective, because the new NXT client that we got in 2016, which is written in more modern C++ and leverages newer technologies and graphics cards, provides better performance, and, as we all know, provides that huge draw distance that we absolutely love today in RuneScape 3 and just some of the, you know, most visually astounding things to ever come out of this game have come out with the NXT client. And, you know, I think we just need to remember our roots as this little game that appeared in a 640 by, or rather appeared in a Java applet on what was a 640 by 480 or 800 by 600 Windows 98, Windows XP machine in the web browser. And lo and behold, here we are playing RuneScape with the NXT client at 1080p on our 23-plus-inch screens, or even higher sometimes, 4K. And, you know, this is something that has carried the game for all these years, but now it's time to sunset it, put it to bed, and look forward to what's coming in the future. So, you know, I wanted to see if I still had the Java client kicking around on my system here, but I don't, just to open it for one last time. So I couldn't do that, and the Java client isn't around anymore for download. So that's an era that is gone now for me. So, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on memories? Or I mean, we're obviously looking to the future on this because it's a very graphically bright future.
Yeah, you know, I think Java was the Java client was just super innovative for its time, and I guess all good things have to end. And in this regard, we're lucky because we're not really losing. We're just kind of transitioning. And this is going to, I mean, the major takeaway is this will allow us, this will allow JAGEX to push the boundaries of NXT. And that is very, very exciting. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the fun things that you can see with this, you know, just look back to when Anachronia was released and they were doing previews at the time. I think it was Mod Shawnee doing a preview around Anachronia with depth of field enabled. That's something we haven't gotten yet. It's still in development, but it's something we could probably expect to get at some point in the future. We also have, you know, features like ambient occlusion, which are the god rays, which you can see very prominently in Menophos. You can also see new features that have been brought in recently, like the fading in of objects when you move the camera through them. We're going to get the silhouetting that was shown off at RuneFest. And I think one of the biggest things that we can think of is that this effectively paves the way forward for the fact that they only need to maintain one code base in the game, and that is the NXT client, which will let them work on things like smooth movement, which we're actually getting next week, of all things, which is going to be a really fun thing to see. And also all those other little technical things that we saw at the RuneFest keynote this year, such as maybe, you know, reducing the delay of clicks that happens, amongst other things as well. So, I mean, the future is very bright on this, but it's time for the Java client to go away. And, you know, for me, my opinion is probably been at this point for a year, maybe a year and a half, where from my perspective and, you know, based on what I see players complaining about, it's time for that to happen.
Yeah, I agree. And I might have even been a little bit harsher than you are, Shane, because, like, pretty much shortly after NXT was released, I was ready for Java to go.
Yeah. And, you know, we got the number not too long ago. It's only 4% of active players that are using that. And they put out technical documents to help people who might have problems with NXT. And as it turns out, most of the people playing with NXT or not playing with NXT right now and using the Java client have had problems in the past on the NXT client, and as a result have gone back to Java on that front, but that was a long, long time ago. And, you know, that's the constant thing I heard too, is that, hey, this new client you guys have, it crashes every so often, whereas the old Java client didn't do this. I don't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, but you know what the Java client is? I mean, and I don't know, this is purely anecdotal, okay? But I swear I haven't experienced lag like I used to on NXT, like I used to get it on Java. And I don't know if there's anything, if it has anything to do with it, but my experience has been, I don't lag now. I haven't lagged for a long time, but I used to get it so bad back on the old Java client.
So. Yeah, and you know, one of the real fun things about this is that the Java client used to work really hideously on macOS. And whenever NXT came in, that was actually an upgrade for us, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, you know, the NVIDIA drivers associated with Apple have always been crap. And the AMD ones have been better, but I never hit 50 FPS on my Mac before with the Java client. Now, I'm practically at 60 FPS all the time.
So, yeah, if it makes...
It was an upgrade.
If it makes gaming on a Mac better, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's my personal story from it. And I mean, I remember also the teething issues of using it on the Mac back in the day, the Java client. Can you believe there was a point where we didn't have sound?
Oh,
with
wow.
RuneScape 2. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why would you ever want to play it on a Mac?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's time. And I mean, NXT provides so much that we didn't have beforehand, that going back to that old system is just absolutely jarring. So I am pleased to see this happening, and it's a little bit bittersweet just because that's where we started off, but it's all for the better at this point, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, if NXT didn't do everything that Java does better, I would feel differently, but I feel like it does everything. We're not losing anything, and it does it all better. So I feel okay in, you know, moving forward and embracing what the future can, you know, can be and how far we can push it now.
Indeed. Indeed. And speaking of the future, I mean, last week we wanted to talk about 120 farming and 120 herb lore, and we experienced that now. We got a number of fixes in the patch notes and some talk on the live stream about that. And I just wanted to do a bit of a circle back here and talk about our experience over the last week and a half or so. I think I found the purpose of the ranch out of time. So
Okay. The
large dinosaurs give you around 56,000 XP, 56,250 exact for checking them at Elder, whereas dragons are 45,000 for max health and happiness. And dragons take 7 days. These dinosaurs take around 8 or 9 days, depending. I'm not entirely sure on the exact number. It was around 8 or 9. For that, I put them in on the Monday, and they were ready late Tuesday, so somewhere in that range. And, I mean, looking at this, you know, 56,250 XP for checking from Elder, and each one is significantly less than that. We're at the point now with the farming skill where you're going to, you know, be checking these once every 9 days or so, and your dragons every 7 days for this amount of XP. And yeah, they work with bonus XP and whatnot. So as I said many times before with the farming nerf when that came in, that if you have shiny animals and you have bonus XP, you're going to be getting more than you did before. But I believe at this point that the purpose of Ranch Out of Time is a supplemental to our existing farming XP. And it's not, you know, going to shake the XP rates off the chart. And we know that right now going in based on this. And, you know, for this reason, I think the primary purpose of Ranch Out of Time right now, in addition to that supplemental farming XP, because, you know, if you're still doing tree runs and you're still doing manor farm, that's going to be the bulk of your XP. And this is just going to add on to it by a bit on top, you know. I think what we're looking at is that Ranch Out of Time is mainly going to be used for its produce in the short to medium term.
Yeah. I don't see this as the XP getter.
Nope.
But what we'll be curious about that, though, is will there be any pressure to increase that XP or to increase the breeding rates like we saw last time, and we end up in the exact same situation? That is what I am waiting to see, because I don't know. I don't know where the community will come down on that. Everyone seems to be pretty happy now, but prices are so high that they may start advocating for.
We'll talk about the prices of dinosaurs later in a listener question. I have a bit of a solution to help our listeners out with that. But you're entirely right with that, and that, you know, just looking at this and the way it scales, this is a natural progression from manor farm with dragons, right? Because if it was to be something entirely different on that regard, then, well, we might have that talk about whether it's worth, you know, increasing the XP. But, and they chose these numbers on a very deliberate purpose, because you get exactly 25% more XP for a dinosaur than you do for a dragon. For turning it in. So
it's pretty much exactly where we were before.
Right. And, I mean, you throw that in as well. Throw in, say, Jadinkos and Frogs on that, and you're right. The farm is probably exactly where it was beforehand on that. And Jadinkos grow much faster. I think they only take 3 or 4 days to grow to Elder, which, I mean, is good for the XP front as well. And Jadinkos are relatively easy to catch in terms of eggs. Granted, you can only have one pen of them with four running around. There is the breeding option for the medium pen. It remains to be seen whether you're going to get better XP rates by having Jadinkos in the breeding pen and Jadinkos in the medium pen, or if you're better off going dinosaurs in the breeding pen and then dinosaurs in your two large pens as well. I think it's going to lean towards the dinosaur side on that, just thinking of
how it works. I think you're right. And see, this is almost a chance at a do-over, right? So, like, if they were to keep things the way that they are and not have to adjust them in the future, then I think right now the purpose of the farm, like you said, the produce, but not just the produce. Produce and breeding together makes it a much more of a GP maker than an XP generator. And I think as long as they are able to keep the numbers of animals coming in where they are, it's going to continue to be like that. But right. If we increase that, then we're going to have the same situation as before.
And the numbers are kept where they are because the eggs for the dinosaurs only come from Big Game Hunter, and you know how long that takes.
Right. Well, I mean, they'll come from breeding.
Right.
Like they breed.
They're selling for 25 mil a pop right now.
Yes, they're high.
People aren't necessarily high out there looking for them, but if you can find someone, they're there. Bottled dinosaur roar, 60K each.
Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's high.
And that's what leads me to say that the ranch out of time right now is largely a focus on produce if you have the dinosaurs. Because, I mean, let's be real here. You're either going to go to Big Game Hunter, you're going to get a male and a female of a specific dinosaur, and you're going to breed them, and that's going to be your XP sink. Or you're going to, you know, go out and spend, you know, 40, 50 mil, buy two eggs, breed them together, and then, you know, every 6 or 7 days or so, you're going to have a dinosaur coming out to Elder after the first one. So because, you know, as far as I can tell, these dinosaurs breed at the regular rate of dragons. I've got an egg pretty much every day or every other day since I've had them in the breeding pen.
Shane, you've been lucky. No, you're lucky as usual, bud.
Really?
I'm not going to disagree that it might be the same rate as the dragons. I don't really know, but a lot of the feedback, a lot of people I've been talking to, it's been really slow for them. So, I mean, you're generally lucky, Shane. I think you're probably getting a little lucky here too.
Because I've already bred. Let's see, so I bred two for Pop in Clan Quest. I bred two for myself already. I bred another one, and I got another one. So what is that? Yeah, I've gotten pretty
that's
much.
A lot.
I've gotten like six eggs in a week and a half.
Yeah, dude, that's a lot.
Yeah. So you're saying I'm being very lucky with this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I think you're luckier than the average. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, we'll see if I get another one today on that. We'll talk more about eggs and costs later. I have a solution for that. Farm requests outside of the reputation system still feel underwhelming, I think. They're serving their purpose for removing seeds, produce, and animals from the ecosystem. And World 2, and this is something I've been monitoring, World 2 at the Manor Farm is the new de facto hub for animals. People aren't just buying the dinosaurs there. They're buying zygomites, they're buying sheep, they're buying spiders. They're buying pretty much anything that appears on the farm system or the farm request system. I personally haven't done this because I don't feel a need to grind for it. So, I mean, and, you know, as we talked about last week, the reputation on its own is just something you're going to unlock along the way. So that's why I'm not necessarily feeling that I need to go do the requests each and every day. But outside of requests, kind of feels a bit underwhelming. Rewards I've seen available, Elite Clue Scroll, Metafight Gift Offering, Golden Castle Wars Ticket, amongst other things. So,
I mean, unfortunately, nothing has been enticing enough to really make me want to do it. Now, if you're a Clue, if you're a Clue person,
you don't need that.
Then if, well, and you don't really, right.
You don't because need you that. Know how easy it is to get Clues these days.
I mean, just, I mean, yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong.
So, you know, one thing I think would be interesting is if you took the Traveling Merchant Shop and used that as the template for this.
Ooh.
Not obviously in the same numbers, but just the same items.
Oh, yeah. Give me a double livid plant day. Oh, God.
Oh, I would do that.
Oh, God. Me too.
And
I'd be all over that.
And the key point, it shouldn't be as high as the Traveling Merchant is because that's a GP sink in its own. So if it was half or 25% as much, I think that'd be valuable.
Hey, just another one I'd be happy with, whatever the cost. Doesn't bother me.
Anima would also be an interesting one for Shattered Worlds. Mm-hmm. So you see what I'm going for. And this is what I thought when I saw the Golden Castle Wars ticket and Menifite Gift Offering on there.
Yeah.
Is that that might be something to do. But, I mean, for all we know, it could be doing that and it could just take a while to get there. Because it was a while before we knew what the Traveling Merchant would have, right?
I guess that's true. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true.
So. Oh. And you unlock a title. You unlock a title at 2.5 million farming XP. The Very Good Farmer.
Oh, Shane. Come on now. You want to be a master farmer or a very good farmer?
Yes. I think the master farmer, probably.
Right.
So, but that's something that is going to be fun to unlock eventually. And see, this is the thing with this. We don't know what's going to be in this farm request reward bucket. So, I mean, we could be onto the right track on this, but if we're not, there's some ideas for things that could be added to it. Next up, I want to talk about a continuation to my Informer article that I did in September, Farming Money. This one I called the Farming and Herblore Ecosystem because, as it was prior to this, there was an ecosystem with farming where you could effectively fund all of your farming needs, whether it be planting trees and going on your tree runs and paying for your dinosaur, paying for your zygomites and paying for your dragons, you could do that with 2 to 3 herb runs a day, no problem. And it is my opinion that this update, 120 Farming and 120 Herblore, has supercharged that and tied it into Herblore as well, to the point where if you want to make the new Herblore potions at 99 plus, or even some of them below 99, and you're a farmer, you could potentially, if you wanted to, make these potions purely based off of the farming skill. And granted, yes, you could do that with Herblore, with the herbs, but most of the secondaries in Herblore prior to this, you couldn't really make on your own. You had to buy them or go harvest them. So I think that this update really supercharges that ecosystem together.
Definitely expands it, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
And makes it even tighter.
And that's exactly what I wrote in this article. So give that a read at informer.rsbnb.com. And I think the thing that we need to take away from this is that players for the longest time, at least some of them in the skilling community, have been asking for a distinct economy, a distinct ecosystem that wouldn't be impacted by high-level PVM. And that's what we got with this update. And that's one of my biggest reflections on it, with the exception of the Lost Grove creatures dropping some of the seeds and needing to kill some of the dinosaurs on Anachronia for their eggs. This is a distinct economy in RuneScape that is provided for by all different kinds of skillers. And it's going to continue to be that way, barring major changes to drop tables.
Right, which I'm in no way sure that isn't going to happen, like, at all. The only other difference, I think, is the seeds are also coming in through the clues.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, quite – I would
– Triskelion keys, crystal chest too.
Yeah, and I wish the seeds were coming in through just skilling.
Yeah.
I mean, clues would be okay if it was in addition to, you know, whatever the skilling method was that brought them in. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess there's probably just not enough bird's nest and stuff like that coming into game to sustain everyone.
Dragon fruit seeds, guarana seeds, and avocado seeds can come from the grove creatures, but dragon fruit can also come from clue scrolls. Guarana can come from clue scrolls as well. Pickpocketing rogue captains gives you dragon fruit. Big game hunter, guarana seeds. Dinosaur slayer gives avocados, tomb shrimp spores, mango seeds, and lychee seeds. Jadinkos gives avocado, stink shroom, tomb shrooms, and siku tree seeds. And Triskelion keys give carambola seeds and golden dragon fruit seeds. So the bulk of them is from things other than combat on there. The main skilling methods that you – actually, I think the skilling method you can do with the highest frequency on here is either the Jadinko hunting or the pickpocketing of rogue captains. If you want to go to the wilderness.
But that's what I was going to say. Nobody's interested in that. I mean, I know they keep trying to entice us to go out there, but we just – no one wants to do that. No one wants to skill and then get PK'd all the time. It's not fun.
That's level 52 wilderness, so there's no easy teleport away.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. It's not fun to be skilling and have some asshole come and kill you. It's not fun.
Yeah. Anyways, that's a bit on seeds. But read the article. I think it's good. I did write it, so I am biased. Just a note on the combat ecosystem. You know, we saw this, this isn't doing anything for combat. Well, of course it's not doing anything for combat. They said that we don't want to change the combat meta all that often, and they don't want to upend it with that. And I would go so far as to say it actually does help combat greatly, just not at the high level. It helps the mid-level and entry-level PVMers who are going to have access to these potions.
Yeah. Damn it. There wasn't any benefit to combat in a skilling update. It's bullshit.
let me pull up the dinosaur perks, actually, because those are interesting, especially for the people who say there's no impact on...
Hey, you get elder overloads, okay? Elder overloads. That's it. We're done. We're done talking.
Yeah.
You got elder overloads. You're good.
And, you know, as we'll hear in one of the patch notes, with Maniacal or Berserker, you can now boost up to combat – all your combat stats up to 130.
I mean, that – it's nonsense. I'm not entertaining it, no.
So – and, you know, just to say that there is no impact on combat, it's entirely wrong. It helps the mid-level combat more, I'd say, than – the high level ones. And if you want to find your needs for your high level combat, just look at some of the animal traits that you have here too. So where is it? Here's the list. Malatops increases the duration of barricade by 1.8 seconds per tier, and as we mentioned, that's 3.6 seconds.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you were a tank, you know, you want the tank on your team to have those whatever they are.
Yeah. Let me just find this. There was a page on the wiki that I found, but it's hard to find after this. Ah, there we are. I found it. Okay. So these two are, of course, used with the farm totems. So we mentioned all the ones last week that were on the news post, but there were some that weren't talked about in the blog. But brutish dinosaurs increases each heal from regenerate to 3% of your maximum life points. Tier 2 will take it up to 4% of your maximum life points when you use regenerate. And where was the other one that I wanted here? It was, this one. This was one that we didn't really talk about before. When you use a Jadinko, or you have the Jadinkos in your pens, these increases the duration of Juju potions by 30 seconds. Granted, it's not combat, but that's big. Frogs, yield from stink shrooms is doubled. Now, here's one that goes into our talk last week about the power bursts. Arcane Apatosaurs increases your rune multiplier when crafting elemental runes by 1, and tier 2, it increases it by 2 when crafting elemental runes. So you remember that 22 times multiplier on air runes we were talking about last week?
Yeah.
That can go up to 26 times now.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm still floored, though. I mean, you're not going to catch me doing rune crafting, but that's,
what?
I guess that's great for people
what?
That do.
Money.
I am not running runes. Ugh, come on.
All right.
Like, that's so 2000, like, early. I don't know. Right. 7, 8. I mean, I don't know.
The Ascitops Terp perk. increases the critical chance of mining by 3% at Tier 1 and by 6% at Tier 2.
Okay.
So, this combined with the produce, I think, is what we're going to see out of Ranch Out of Time.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, this is, like I said, I think this is the moneymaker. And we'll see. It should hold up. I mean, if everything is to stay the same, it's probably in a decently balanced place.
Yeah, and
right now
they did mention on the live stream this week that they did increase the number of beans that the animals sold for because they were worried about that happening, but people weren't selling them for beans because they were too low. So they probably got them at the sweet spot right now.
Yeah.
All right. I think we can move on into the patch notes then. On this note, let's talk about changes made to the 120s this week. So first off, it's now possible to add noted insects to the Anachronia dinosaur farm troughs. And, gosh, what's the name of that other mushroom spore? Not the stink shroom. What is it? Tomb shrooms. Tomb shrooms.
Tomb shrooms.
Those give flies when you plant them in your mushroom patch. And, you know, that's another good way of making money this week. Because it is by far the best way to get flies for your frogs. So.
Huh. Okay.
Yep. Because I think the other one, only other one is to buy them from somewhere, and there's a limited quantity on that. So.
Oh, like. At the pet shops? Is that where you would...
Yeah, I think that's where you buy that from. I not haven't so. Done any frogs yet, so I'm not entirely sure on that.
Okay.
Let's see. Next up in the patch notes, using the power burst of vitality no longer keeps you updated, keeps your updated max HP value. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know people would like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The scroll of cleansing now correctly saves 5 Grenrell spikes rather than 1.
Oh,
excellent.
That's good.
Excellent. Super growth potions will now work correctly on flower patches that have been watered. And this is, of course, what all the magic beans were converted to.
Mm-hmm.
Primal feasts and portions can now be added to Beast of Burden's inventory. So after you take a bite of the primal feast and or you have the portion with it, you can put it in your Beast of Burden. Couldn't do that before. Escape will no longer put surge on cooldown if under the effects of the power burst movement. The Anachronia build tick message now appears when the player visits the ranch at a time. Previously, this wasn't happening, saying that your people there found whatever resources you were gathering, which is a little bit disconcerting. And the changes we talked about last week for the Blessed Flask have been brought in particular, that Blessed Sand and Extra Fine Sand that's used for creating these are now tradable. The blocks of sandstone have had their buy limit upped on the Grand Exchange to 10,000. Left-clicking on Extra Fine Sand will now bless the sand when you stand in range of an altar. Experience for grinding sandstone and blessing Extra Fine Sand has been increased to 7 XP per. I wonder if you might find a prayer training method out of this.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm that gung-ho on it. Maybe.
Let's see how much sand you need for this. Again, I forget the exact number. I'm just looking that up right now. So you need blessed molten glass, which is made from the blessed sand. You need 40,000 blessed sand, which, looking at GE prices, would be 33 mil today.
Holy crap.
So you could get 280k prayer XP for doing that if you wanted to. I think the blessed sand might be a moneymaker. Mining sand.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe a moneymaker, but definitely not XP getter.
No. No. All right. And blessing extra fine sand now requires level 20 prayer.
Okay. There's some low-level money-making possibilities here for the lower levels. It's good.
Yeah. And the fly shops, or the pet shops in Taverly and Yunil, each stock 1,000 of the flies. So, remains to be seen which people will use. But, I mean, there's got to be a reason for that.
I would be curious to see if this is going to end up being a daily to add to your shop rents or whatever. Like it used to be with, you know, none of this stuff existed in the way it did, but with feathers and broad arrows
Get flies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they're only for frogs.
I bet they sell more in the GE than they are in those shops. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, we'll have to test that, but I bet you're right. Now some patch notes for Yak Tracks. Scattering ashes will now correctly add to the progress on for prayer tasks in Yak Track. The Dungeoneering Yak Track tasks will now correctly add progress when doing occult floors at high Dungeoneering levels. Oh boy, you wouldn't want to do one of those and miss out on it. Change Drainer Village to Drainer Market in the Yak Track for one of the things where you need to purchase from someone. Count Yakula's position has been moved to make him more centralized, which I still don't know where he is. I just killed the duck for that first task. Let's see if I can find anything saying exactly where he is on that. Berthorpe. A yak. Okay. I missed him, but all right, that's good. Ores ported to the metal bank will now correctly add progress to the Yak Track mining tasks. Oh, could you imagine mining and using porters and not getting credit?
Oh, no. Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch indeed. All right, combat. Drinking Elder Overload potions and using a Berserker Maniacal Aura will now correctly boost your combat stats to 130. Fix an issue where aggression and corruption scrimshaws could be rapidly activated or deactivated on the action bar to force the aggro of multiple NPCs. The Eat Food ability now works when transformed into Grigorovic on challenge mode. And the Eat Food ability now works during Araxor's Cocoon special attack. I don't know of any PVMers who use the Eat Food ability, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stop players from being able to use items directly from their beast of burden while skilling, such as making potions with ingredients from a pack yak. So when the 120 Herblore update first came out, people thought that this was a quality of life fix. But it turned out to be a bug.
Oh.
So they thought that you could just say make, you know, 58 potions, or rather, sorry, I can't do math right now. But you get the idea, make half of your yak plus your inventory, and you would be able to make all those potions. They thought that would be possible with this, but no, it was a bug. Creating unfinished.
I was just going to say, no, you have to keep hitting the withdrawal from yak to do that. But you should be doing that if you're training your Herblore like that.
Yeah. Creating unfinished potions will no longer provide duplicate vials. The escape ability no longer turns the player to face the direction they have moved. That would be interesting. And it might be some kind of buff if you were thinking about it, because you could escape then surge. And that would be funny.
Yeah.
Food and potions now function from the action bar in Stealing Creation. Telegrabbing gems correctly places gems in a gem bag if the player has it. Now here's a big one. Treasure Hunter probabilities are now available on the desktop by the Show Probabilities button.
That's good.
Yeah.
Progress.
Yeah, and I mean, they do it on mobile, so as I said, why not just do it here? And I mean, it'll really... put it forward to what you're paying for in terms of chance. And many countries are starting to require that people do that. So they're getting ahead of the game on this. And that's why it was in mobile to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we'll get to a point where
that's not needed.
Right. But at least you can tell now.
Yep. The smithing auto heater message will tell you when that your item has been reheated, can now be filtered. And there we have it. That's the patch notes for the week.
All right. Some healthy ones.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, not too many big ones, not too many showstoppers, especially for the 120 farming and 120 herblore stuff. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. Moving on then. Next up, we're going to talk about the live stream from this week, which I've collated some general notes on for this. And we need to have a talk about the daily challenges rework, which was something that was going to appear this month, but wasn't mentioned in the BTS.
It's kind of like the good, the bad, and the ugly, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, they say some of these achievements they have are quite tedious, like baking 300 summer pies.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
But on the other hand, you have ones that are popular, like Dungeoneering.
Yeah. You're going to get some give and take here.
The goal was to generalize each daily challenge so you could do whatever you wanted in a certain skill with some limitation. And, you know, they're going to make it so you don't need to hand in what was made, so you keep it so it doesn't feel like you're getting ripped off.
Yeah.
And as a result of this, you don't get that little goodie bag at the end. You just get the XP. Which is going to be taken down to the value of a huge lamp. Which is a buff for many of the skills, they say, but a nerf for Dungeoneering.
Oh, it's a big nerf for Dungeoneering, and it's a nerf for a couple others.
It's about half.
Yeah. You know, I'm usually a pretty big opponent of nerfs. And I don't tend to, you know, I don't like them. And especially with Dungeoneering, because it is such a pain. It's just a pain. So I've always felt like the reward was okay. But in this particular circumstance, I feel like this is what to expect, kind of, when reworking a system like this. The rest of the stuff is going to be increased. So the vast majority of things is a positive. There's a few things that's a negative. While personally I hate that, I actually think it's probably the right way to go.
Yeah, I think it's the right way to go too. And, you know, I'm one of the people who has used these achievements, or rather daily challenges, before on that front, though I don't do them religiously. It's just good to have everything brought into a standard envelope of XP, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, if we're being honest, Dungeoneering Daily Challenge has always been an outlier right? I mean, because 200K a day, it's quite a bit. I mean, I know people that have gotten their 200 mil solely from doing their two floors a day. Because, you know, you extend it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes you, what, 10 minutes if you're doing a small complexity six, you know, something like that. So, you know, I really don't have as big of a problem with this one as I normally would, like if it was a skilling, you know, adjustment.
People need to be aware of that with it being an outlier and people the training the skill this way shows the very reason it needs to be nerfed.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like I said, you know, this is different. This isn't about having, you know, Dungeoneering isn't like one of those skills where the more input, the more you get out. You're putting in, no matter what the input is, you're getting out the same 200K. You know what I mean? Whether you're doing it by yourself or you're doing it with two or you're doing it with five, you're still getting that 200K no matter what. And so, to me, this is a different case. Like, this is a different case study.
Yeah.
And it's more appropriate to, you know, bring this one down.
Yeah, and this is arriving on December 16th, so you still have, you know, a week and a half to do this, 10 days.
Yeah.
There's also a new user interface coming with this, which is going to be good, I think. If you want to have a look at this, I have it up on the video version, but it's just cleaned up the UI, uses the new modern look and feel with it as well.
Well, you're going to have so much more freedom. Like, that's the main thing, right? Like, you're going to have freedom to pick what you want to do within the skill. And that's huge.
Right. And, you know, you're going to be able to claim it directly. You don't need to go to Berthorpe or Prif to turn it in. You still get the Treasure Hunter key. The one they have up right now is complete full apps of any agility course, 5. You get to, and I mean, from that regard, if you don't like training agility, go do 5 agility laps at the Gnome agility course, and you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I know it sucks on the dungeoneering front, but it really feels like a win to me for everything else.
Also, the farming Nemi Forced one was also a problem.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, some of the daily challenges awarded squat, dude. Like, they were not worth doing at all. Like, it was just... And then some of them were so tedious. Like, dude, those summer pies got so expensive.
Yeah.
Like, for no reason.
I'm going to turn woodcutting ones back on after this arrives. Since I want to get 120 woodcutting.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And if you have enough wax, like, if you have a healthy supply of wax, you know, you can manipulate that.
Yeah, and you know, 25 for a reroll, 50 for an extend. So do your extends and reroll the ones you don't want.
Yeah, and basically what you do is you just make sure you have 5 open. You can collect them all week long. Then when you get some time, you can you X all but one that you want to do, and you can do all your challenges in that one skill at that one time if you want to do it that way. It saves you a lot of, I mean, you know, if you can't make it one day or whatever, this is one way around that.
And we talked about this in our monthly bit that we just recorded too, how this drives people around the game and gives them something to do so that you're not always working on the same grind.
Yeah.
So all in all, I think this is a good change, even though I'm a proponent of those dungeoneering challenges as they are now.
Right. But, yeah, I mean it's not going to feel good.
I hope people will find a way to win with this new system, like we're talking right now, rather than just complaining and, as Sirion says, being addicted to anger about this.
But I mean, it's pure math, right? I mean, when 25 things are getting boosted and 3 things go down a little bit, it's just. It's pure
Accept it.
Math, right?
Accept
like
it.
That. I mean, it's better. Like it might not be ideal for everybody, but it's on the whole better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't get used to this, Shane. I'm still not a big nerf person, but I think it's called for in this regard.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Next up, they talked about the pet competition. There's going to be two polls coming on December 26th – or December 16th and 23rd, rather, for the four categories that we talked about in terms of money-making, areas, clues, and rune score.
You know, I was a little disappointed with – like – so, you know, they're using – was it a magpie for the money-making thing?
Yeah.
I don't think that's universally understood by people. I would have rather seen like a treasure chest or a pile of money or I don't know.
That's what
anything.
We suggested. I want to start with the area ones. I mean, I watched the live stream and it's hard to convey over audio. So I'll just give a bit of a rundown on this. There is a area pet that is effectively a sheep that changes its appearance based on its area for lumberage, and then it turns into a yak or a bloodveld or a bear or a camel, amongst other things. There's this other thing, I think that's an alpaca, that changes its outfit based on the specific area.
Yeah, what about an alpaca has anything to do with the Viking type of deal? I don't know. I guess it looks cute.
Yeah.
So that's the Firmenich area, right? Like,
yeah. There's also a chameleon kind of thing as well for one of the area pets that has different appearances for all the different ones. I don't know. None of these really jumped out at me. I'm just gonna run through a few of these here. I'm gonna move to the money making ones because that's what you mentioned, and we'll save to see what actually appears in the poll on this, because there were too many of them. One of them was a loot bean, which is a pet that would follow you around that looked like a bean that was glowing. I think that's the closest we got to a stack of GP.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to get confusing, but yeah.
Lone shark. A shark with some kind of hat and some evil-looking mustache and monocle. Also with this, the frog of fortune, a money-making pet, a golden frog that would follow you around. That's kind of in your vein of what you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, it's more so. The golden chim is more of a sign to me than the frog.
But. Yeah, yeah. And then there was one that I really just wanted to showcase that they did for the clue scroll concept. Somebody sent in a piece of concept artwork on a post-it note. Sherlock
okay.
The raccoon with clue scrolls in a bag. And it showcases him walking around with a magnifying glass and whatnot.
See, now, the only problem that I have is we have a raccoon. For
yes.
Our thieving pet.
Yes, and they did mention that.
I don't want to get them too close. You know,
they did
like too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one was a walking casket with a spade on it.
Oh, that's cool. See, that to me is way more clue-ish, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, numerous of these around, but I'm going to wait until the poll comes out to actually showcase these because, I mean, it's concept artwork at this point and there's no guarantee mm-hmm. what was shown. On the stream,
and they all look
into it.
You're right, and they all look nice. Like from a
right
artistic point of view, they're cool as hell. You know,
and the animators and artists are still going to take their own liberties, and what we see in the concept art isn't necessarily going to be the same. So
exactly, yeah.
Then moving on into general Q&A, any possibility for changes to power bursts, i.e., the power burst of feats? They're gathering feedback on how these are being used and what tweaks could be done. If anybody has any ideas, Mod Raven says send them into the team.
Okay, that's awesome.
How did Double XP Weekend Extended go? They're going to bring stats into the next few live streams. They're going to assess it internally. But 31,800 accounts achieved a level 99 or 120. And there's going to be a blog post next week on Duty of Care.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And you know,
we're going to be flipping. I feel like we're going to flip sides on that somehow. Like, a duty of care issue.
Well, you know, I've always been for, you know, like I said, when this version of Double XP came out, I said it is, you know, the moral responsibility of a good company to provide guidelines and whatnot for the health and safety of their players.
I know, and here I am, like, big progressive saying, no, needs to be freedom. Like, it's, we're seriously going to be wearing each other's hats when this comes around.
All right. Nightshade, somebody asked if there's a solution to Nightshade to have more of it around, because, you know, you need that for the new weapon poison, and Nightshade and coconut oil are typically hard to get, so makes sense that they're going to look into...
I thought that came from a quest.
It is in a quest. It features heavily in a quest. There is an area underneath Gutanoth that allows you to pick Nightshade.
Yeah.
But you can also grow it in the farming skill.
Oh.
Yeah. In one patch. In one patch. So.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Barring using some kind of magic growth potion on it. Dead Clicks continues to be worked on. The technical team has been brought in on that, so it's an issue that's being worked on and is a complicated one from the sounds of it to fix.
That's too bad, because that's kind of a big deal for, you know, people that enjoy their combat. That's a big deal, and they should be able to fix that for them.
You know, there's also a question about achievements for farming and herb lore. They could be brought in, but they don't have any plans to do it in the future or right now. They want to look at and see where the update went, which is interesting because we just talked about achievements.
I was going to say, maybe they should listen to the bit before they do that.
Yeah. More info on that in just a few moments. Baby dinosaur pets people asked for on live stream. They said they could in theory,
yes.
But Reddit has been saying they don't want any more pets.
Stop listening to
And I just think this is the most confusing stance ever from the community.
And here's the thing, okay? I feel like the dinosaur pets would be more more in demand than, like, these other pets that they've been pushing, the area and money and, you know, the ones we just talked about. I feel like the dinosaur pets would be much more in demand than those. You know what? Like, I feel like just aggregate all of your feedback and give it a numerical value that is the same. And then talk about it, because
Reddit shouldn't be deciding if they don't want pets. If the rest of us want pets and cosmetics, we should get them.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't want the same stuff a lot of people there want, and they don't want the same stuff I want. So, you know, I mean, just take us all into account and then do what's best for the most amount of people. It's how I feel about it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And there's this also this good one that I want to end off with. There have been various pitches made inside the company to revamp or rewrite the farming code. And one of the top things that Mod Raven would actually like to do is revamp the farming code, so much so that he'd put it on a Christmas wish list, and it would be tied between this and the Rite of Passage quest.
What's revamping the farming code? I don't understand what that means.
The way it happens is that back in the day when farming came out, it was incredibly bleeding edge and new tech for them, right? But now instancing stuff is no big deal. Farming came out before construction did, and construction was by far the biggest instance thing that they ever did. So what's happened is that the code that they used to write the basis of the farming skill, and then they can just hack on, you know, new trees and bushes and whatnot, as they've done with 120. But the actual code that runs the skill underneath is apparently very old, goes back to which it would have been in 2007, 2008 on that regard. And it's just been carried forward all that time, and they could do it a lot cleaner now than they could have in the past. And one of the reasons they don't do this is because there would be no real frontal benefit to players that
right.
they would see.
People wouldn't see it.
Yeah.
Which is too bad.
And this came from the question, could we get farming timers?
See, now, that sucks.
You don't need a bloody farming timer. That's
no,
not
you
how
do.
You do
I
it.
Wish we had one.
No, you don't. I can
it
teach people
nice.
how to farm without timers.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it'd be nice. You know, the time to have done that would have been with this edition.
Well, you already know how big it was.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. So, like, you can see how things get how you can't get everything that you want, because I feel like that would have been the time to do it, right? I mean, you're working on farming, and there would have been something that the players got out of it. Now, when you go and redo the code, you almost need a remaster to be able to go in there and do it again. But how can you remaster something that just went up to 120, you know, a few months
right,
before?
Right, there'd be no frontal benefit for the players being able to see anything from it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah. Then the question was asked about the spirit tree at the manor farm, and we were right on that. The idea was to create more of a start point rather than an end point, and players apparently wanted it to be an end point, so they are open to feedback about changing it.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's fine where it is, thinking about it for the past week.
I don't really have a problem with it either.
Because, I mean, you got one in Port Sarum. You got one in Varrock. You got one on Miscellanea. You got one at both gnome places. You got one in Prif. You got one... where's the other one? You got one on Brimhaven and so on and so forth, right? Like, there's enough of them.
Well, I mean, and that's almost, what, another 100K every couple days?
Yeah.
If you do spirit trees?
Yeah.
You know, so you have to watch that as well, right?
Yeah, it'd be around 92K base.
92K.
Yeah, because they're 23K each, and there's four of them that you can plant. So, I mean, it's nice in that regard, but I don't know. Where would you put a fourth spirit tree if not for Manor Farm?
I don't know. I think Manor Farm is just fine. It's a farm.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like that would be the right place. The only other place for that would be somewhere related to the gnomes, but we already have them there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's even that one by the Poison Waste area.
Oh, yeah.
From the Path of Glove request. Yeah, leave it at Manor Farm. Alrighty. Well, that's it for RS News this week. We're going to move on to a listener question in just a moment, but this week I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, a couple of extra ones as it is the start of the month. So starting off this week, I'd like to thank Brock H., Cameron, Cass, Christian S., Darren L., Diana, Jason S., Kyle, Rastafa, Rippeth, Seth W., The Naked Captain, Tom V., Zachary K., and Zez. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly, truly does mean the world to us, and it lets us do absolutely amazing things like the monthly bit that we just recorded about achievements.
Yep.
And, you know, we always think, oh, what are we going to learn from this one? And I think some of the most consequential work that we've done on this podcast has come from these monthly bits. So if you want access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits, sign up at patreon.com/rsbnb. All you need to do is sign up for $1 a month. You gain access to the entire back catalog. You get a mention in our show notes, early access to the show notes, and you help fund the cost for hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you get a special VIP rank on Discord, special mention of the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you receive a shout-out every week on the podcast and get exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show. And we're currently doing our monthly bit. We do our inside RSBNB update, our farming stream, which didn't happen for our farming update last week because I wasn't able to get everything in line and the rest of the issue boiled down to timing mainly for people. So what I think what we'll try and do for that is we'll just try and do another mini roundtable this weekend at some point. Just gather for half hour, 45 minutes, hour, maybe talk about farming and herb lore if there's the demand for it. If not, Inside RSBNB Update will be back in January. And, of course, the RSBNB Update Roundtable, which will take place later this month. Date, time will be posted on the Patreon feed. But should we reach that mystical $99 a month tier, join us in our Discord for movie night, and I have a feeling Tannis will make us watch some Star Wars.
Definitely.
But
I will also enjoy some Star Trek.
There you go. There you go. So you can find out more about this and more at patreon.com/RSBNB. Thank you for your support, everyone.
Thanks.
All right. So we got a question this week from Jaden or Jad Chore. How long do you think it will be before Ranch Out of Time, medium and large pen creatures drop and stabilize in price? Some of the Rex creatures are going for upwards of 25 mil, and he is stuck doing frogs and salamanders until the prices become more reasonable, and zero interest in doing Big Game Hunter to get his own.
I hear you there, yeah. Man. I know it's rough. You know, the sad thing is, though, like, I don't think it's going to change for quite a while. Unless they tinkered around, unless people start wanting it to be faster and pressuring them to change it, I think right now we're looking at least 6 months until those prices start to come down.
Yeah.
That's my
yeah, I would agree with
kind
that
of projection
as well. I think in terms of the medium ones, the Jinkos are only really worth doing it if you're looking at XP, so I really wouldn't worry about those because they give the same thing in terms of vines as they give when you're hunting them. So unless you want them for XP, don't worry about Jadinkos for the medium pens. The Varanosaurs, on the other hand, is something you might want to pick up. So I haven't come across any of those ones personally. I'm not interested in those ones right now, but you get those by killing the Dinosaur Slayer on Anachronia, which might be easier than Big Game Hunter to get, I think, when you think about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're no picnic, but it's way better than Big Game Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but, of course, all the big dinosaurs, as we mentioned, the Apatosaurs give Beaksnot. The Rexes give Bottled Dinosaur Roar, which is used in the Vulnerability Bombs, the Masterstroke Power Burst, the Feats Power Burst, and the Overkill Power Burst, just to name a few. Dinosaur Claws come from... I don't know. I don't think we ever figured those ones out. I think those are Ripper Dinosaurs, but I haven't confirmed that.
Yes, I believe you're right.
Slime comes from the Frogs, and Spark Chitin comes from Brutish Dinosaurs, Scimitops, and all the other tops creatures out there, and of course the Spark Chitin is used for the Extreme Prayer Potion and the Power Burst of Acceleration. So, huge impact on the high-end dinosaurs there with that. So I think 6 months, probably.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned before, I had a good streak of luck when it came to breeding these. So what I'm willing to do for listeners of this podcast, and I've also done this for a few Clan Quest members, is if you're looking for, right now, the only one I have are the Rexes. I should have a male and a female set of Apatosaurs by the end of this weekend, hopefully, if breeding goes as planned and some of the deals come through. Because what I've effectively done is I've made deals with people saying, hey, like Parnassius is one, breed me a male and a female Apatosaur, and if you need, say, any of the Rexes, let me know and I'll give you a Rex. So I've effectively set this thing up where hopefully by the end of the weekend I'll be able to have Apatosaurs. But I do have Rexes right now, and I've said this for Clan Quest too. If anybody needs a Rex in Clan Quest, put your name on my list and you'll get in line and you'll have one. And I'm willing to do the same thing for listeners of the podcast as well. And I'm giving these away. I'm not going to be charging you 25 mil. So if anybody here wants one of these dinosaurs and you're going to use them and you're going to breed with them, then let's do it. But if you're going to just run away and take it and sell it, that's not what this is for. So if you want this to get the produce or you want this to breed with, absolutely, we will do this. So I'm putting that out there. You can contact me on Discord. I am, let me just check my number, Shane1169, if you want to contact me on Discord, or Shane12088 in-game if you want to put yourself on this list. But I will happily do that for any members of Clan Quest and podcast listeners out there for this, just to make things a little bit easier.
That's awesome, Shane.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't need the XP. I'm mainly doing this to tinker around with at this point in time. So if I can make people's time easier with farming going forward, I'm happy to do that.
Shane's got the Christmas spirit.
I guess you could say that too. All right. Anything else on that question?
No, I mean, unfortunately, I think that's the time frame we're looking at.
All right, fair enough. If you guys want to send your own questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. You can leave them on Twitter @rsbnb, or you can post them on the forums at update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right. Ready for some tech news?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So we don't normally talk about Android for vulnerabilities, do we?
No, not usually.
There's a big one this week called Strandhog. And, I mean, Tycho can correct me if I'm wrong on that. It is up from his region there, Viking mythology is where this name comes from. But this is a new vulnerability called Strandhog that effectively lets malware pose as a legitimate app. And you might not know you've been targeted. All Android versions, including the most recent Android 10, are at risk. Every application out there, including very popular applications like Facebook, are at risk. There's malware in the wild that is exploiting this. And 36 malicious apps so far have been identified as perpetrating this. So what happens with this is there's a programming method in Android known as an API that lets an application take over the screen. And Facebook does this because on Android, say you get a message from Facebook Messenger, it'll pop up a picture of that person's head on your screen, even if you're not in the Facebook Messenger application. And it's using this API to do it. So in a very brief nutshell, you can read the news posting if you want to learn more about the technical side of it more deeply. What happens is that you install this piece of malware on your phone, and it looks at what apps you might be using. And let's just use Facebook as an example. And when you tap the Facebook icon, instead of getting the legitimate application, the malware is displayed. It will look like Facebook, but now it will ask for potentially any permission out there. It could access your microphone, your camera, it could read your text messages or send messages. It could make phone calls on your behalf, record your phone calls, record login details, access your photos, get your location and GPS info, and the biggest one, access your contact list and past phone logs. And it all happens without you even realizing it. So the idea for Facebook would that be you would press the Facebook button, a login page would appear, you'd enter your information, and boom, they got your Facebook account. And then it would ask you, hey, we'd like to send some SMS messages, and then it's got control of that. And this is based on a legitimate feature that is plugged into Android. And the applications that were identified causing this have been removed from the Google Play Store. But the point of caution needs to be that, unlike iOS, you can install Android applications from anywhere that you want. So the real upshot in this, and the best way to stay safe from this, is to use the Google Play Store for your Android apps. Don't use third-party app stores. Don't download apps willy-nilly and run them, because just like any computer, you can install malware, and you're compromising a lot. You're compromising potentially your pictures, your text messages, your phone logs, your contact list, your location data, any potential accounts, your Facebook accounts, your bank accounts if you do banking on your phone. So you can see how big this is.
Yeah. I mean, just think about this. They could get your financial information and your nudes. Can't think of anything that'd be worse, right?
When you put it that way, and, you know, it goes to the same thing we said all the time on Windows and Mac, is that only install an application if you know where that application is from, you know that you need it, and that you asked for it. And in this case, the best way to do that is to just use the Google Play Store.
Yeah.
So, this is probably not going to be patched, because it's a feature that many big apps rely on.
Oh, they're not going to fix it?
No.
Oh. Well, you're going to have to use Google Play then. I guess it's a win-win for them, right?
Yeah. They could fix it, but I bet Facebook would heavily complain, amongst others.
You know what? Never mind. I don't even want to think about Facebook. Right,
well, we're gonna actually think about Facebook in our next Tech News story.
There's no getting away from Facebook.
No. No.
The cyborg owns us all.
No. And in case that wasn't clear, it not only can access your photos, but can also take pictures and record video with your camera.
Oh, jeez. So even if you're the kind of person that was like, oh, I would never do such a thing. Yeah, well, who's ever in control of your camera might.
Yeah.
Oh, bad. Bad.
Yeah. And you can't detect if...
Hasn't Facebook been in trouble for this anyway?
We talked about this with their weird iOS thing a few weeks back.
Yeah.
And the worst part about this is you can't detect that it's been used against you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The only way you might notice is if something looks different, like the app looks slightly different, the pop-up for the permission doesn't contain a specific app on it. So
just use the Play Store. Save yourself a lot of grief.
Yeah, that's the sense that's coming from this. All right. Speaking of Facebook, in Singapore, Facebook has issued a, quote, corrective label on a user's post. So Facebook issues a correction on this post at the request of the Singapore government, because the government has a new fake news law. And with this law, Facebook is legally required to tell people that are browsing that the Singapore government says that this post has false information. And
you know, it's
just
getting so
embedded at the bottom of the post, and it doesn't add any text to it. It's just there that says this post might have false information in it. And it's based on what the government says.
It's getting to a point where, and I don't know.
It's not Facebook determining who had false information. It was the Singapore government.
Well, right. Because Facebook won't. They won't do it. Even, I don't know. It's the only thing that I'm afraid of is, I mean, at some point people are going to begin to not believe anything because they don't know what to believe.
Oh, I'm already there at that point.
But that's not good, because for a democracy to function, you have to have you electorate has to be educated to be able to make the decisions at the polls. Yeah. And when you can't educate yourself because there's no way to figure out what to believe, you know, and I feel like Facebook is a big part of that. Like, they're a big reason things are
created
a lot worse.
The problem, really.
Yeah.
It let it be exploited from the very top. And this was a story we could have done last week, but Google has stopped allowing micro-targeting of political ads. Twitter has outlawed political ads entirely. The only place you can micro-target political ads now is on Facebook to any degree. And it is this micro-targeting, this compartmentalizing people into various little tribes that you are a fan of X right and you dislike right Y. Therefore, you fit into this basket and Facebook can brand you as such and the political campaigns can get to you in that way. And as a result of that, bringing this back to the false information, you wind up in a situation where people are effectively being judged for truthfulness. And, you know, this comes straight out of 1984.
Yep. And I mean, but even if you flip the situation around, it's the exact same situation. So it's, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, we're looking at this in the case of Singapore. But could you imagine if the U.S. started saying, if the U.S. government started branding certain posts as being fake news?
I don't think that they wouldn't try. Especially this administration would want to 100% do it if they can get away with it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's going to be the big question on this is how far will Facebook go in allowing governments to brand what they deem as false? And if they're going to let governments do it, maybe people will be next branding what is true, choosing what is true and what is not true, despite the facts being right in front of you.
You know what, though? If they allow governments to do it, that will be the only time that people actually will maybe push back on the censorship. Because,
well, it's not censorship. It's leaving the posts as the same. It's just putting a label below it.
But, you know, people seem to never understand that a private company can infringe on their speech as much as it wants to. It's only the government that... It has to allow it. And so the minute the government does it, then people might get it. Then they might be like, whoa, 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 whoa. But if Facebook was just doing it, I mean, we've seen it 100 times, you know, no one seems to bat an eye. Yep. They just let it go.
Yep.
You know, maybe this will draw some attention.
And I mean, no matter what platform you talk about, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, whatever, there's allegations of shadow banning going on.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking. Shane.
Shadow banning is the purpose of saying that, you know, we're going to have posts of a certain persuasion one way or the other, and they're not going to be seen by certain people.
Yeah.
And we're just
so much for the marketplace of ideas. Huh?
Ramp it down. So, and
I don't understand that. If you are so adamant in your beliefs, if you believe you are right, then you should be able to compete in a marketplace of ideas on your own.
Yeah, and the company shouldn't need to control
exactly
what people can see.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, this was one of the best things about Gab when it arrived. And, I mean, unfortunately, it turned out to be the place that, let's just say, the 4chans and the white supremacists of the internet went on that front. It was supposed to be focused on free speech, which, I mean, you get with that. You can ban your own words that you don't want to see on there, which is the way I think banning should be done. But as a result of no content filter going in, their apps, their native apps, were blocked from the iOS and Android app stores. And they didn't get to take off the way that they could. And that avoids this whole problem of corrective labeling of posts on Facebook. And you're at the point where you have these juggernauts that are just too big to compete against.
Yep.
So, all right. Our next piece of news is something relating Plex. And I think we've used this as a pick of the week before on the show. Plex TV is a server-based, or rather a server hybrid streaming service that you can run on your computer so that, let's just say you have a large media library on your computer, you can use it to stream content to your TV through ways of a Chromecast or an Apple TV or something else that's similar. And Plesk already offers some TV shows, but they're adding a whole selection of new movies to this. And they're going to have commercials. Some movies include The Terminator, Ghost in the Shell 2.0, All-Star Comedy Jam, Magellan, Lord of War with Nicolas Cage, The Right Stuff, Facing Alley, a street cat named Bob. And I mean, you really haven't heard many of these except for The Terminator on that front. But I mean, it's an interesting take on streaming to see if you can get a streaming service off the ground that's going to have commercials on it the same way we have commercials on TV.
Yeah. Huh.
You think you could go back and watch movies with commercials?
I don't want to.
Their idea behind this is that they want to bring these pieces of content to the masses for free because there's so many streaming services that we pay for. And they're saying is, hey, if a commercial comes up, just go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's easier to swallow if it's like a show.
Right.
But a movie is harder.
Yeah. Let's see, other things. Apocalypse Now, Counterpunch, Overboard. Yeah, and they are largely classics in that.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Lord of War, Morgan Freeman documentary. So,
oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, so all of these are available for free. You just need to effectively install the Plesk app on your device, and it's showing it on Apple TV here. So, I don't know. Should be interesting to see if this takes off and how long they can maintain it, because, you know, they obviously need to purchase the licenses for this. So this is their way of getting into the streaming service for people who don't have an existing media library. So,
yeah. You know, and I just noticed the other day, like, one of our streaming, what was this, like CBS or NBC, I can't remember which one it was. But it's the one that we watched Masked Singer on. There's still commercials in it. You know what I mean? CBS All Access? Yeah, there's still commercials.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's the one Star Trek is on. It's actually rumored that if it weren't for Star Trek, CBS All Access would be losing a ton of money.
I would probably believe that. Because, I mean, there's not a lot other than that. And like I said, the Masked Singer, it's a big hit, but good for them. We got till January, right?
Yeah, January 23rd, Star Trek Picard.
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of commercials with them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I can't wait. I want to see it.
And the best part is here in Canada, it's actually broadcast on regular TV.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, which is exactly how it was back in the day. All right, so we're going to move on, and, you know, I don't blame you guys for not wanting to compete in a Herb Lore Skill of the Month right after Double XP weekend. We didn't get any signups for that one. No matter how hard I tried, I could not get people to sign up for a Herb Lore Skill of the Month.
They're broke, Shane.
Yeah. And farming even wasn't that interesting. 12-gauge RS took the win with 2.3 million XP gain. Shiro Shana in second with 1.4, and Rippeth in third with 146K. So really not that much gained in that as well. Not as popular as I was hoping it would be.
Oh, dear. One day difference, and I could have taken that, but there was no way I was waiting until Monday to use my seats. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go through some achievements. Unlike last week, we actually do have an amount this week that is readable.
Yes.
So We're going to begin. First up is One Rib with 99 Magic on December 4th. X-Gwen YVAR-X with 99 Constitution on the 4th as well. Moving on to the 2nd, we have Letterman with 99 Agility. Sethiroth with 99 Ranged. VSS with 120 Slayer. Omega got 120 Hunter, 120 Construction, 120 Runecrafting, 120 Summoning, all on December 1st, as well as 120 Cooking. Letterman in again with 99 Smithing. Peachy Reborn with 99 Herblore. SW Martin with 99 Divination. Eryx with 99 Dungeoneering. Gwaxak with 99 Mining, and these are all on the 1st. Tacus Fugo with 99 Agility. Moo Dragon X with 99 Constitution. Harlot Man with 99 Smithing. And into November 30th now, Moo Dragon X with 99 Runecrafting. Starshine with 99 Construction. Doc Hawk with 99 Fletching. And R3PO with 99 Magic on November 30th.
Awesome, guys. We also have Alex Peaks with 99 Thieving on November 30th. We have Dragonkin with 99 Magic on the 30th. We have Letterman with 99 Runecrafting on November 30th. Jammy Jenny with 99 Magic on November 29th. Cyro with 99 Firemaking on November 29th. We have Dart Marf with 99 Magic on the 29th. Dart Marf again with 99 Ranged on the 29th. And the RR Man with 120 Dungeoneering. Boy, he got that just in time, didn't he? That was on the 29th. Popo with 120 Farming on the 29th. Lana Ikea with Lana Ikea?
Yeah, I'm just laughing at the Ikea part.
Oh, okay, with Constitution on November 29th. Let's see, Letterman with 99 Fletching on November 29th. Alex Peaks with 99 Construction on November 29th. Love Natural with 99 Hunter on November 29th, and Popo with 120 Herblore on November 29th.
Well, at least he won't need to suffer with the, you know, the grind towards those.
Hey? Yes.
So that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Nice achievements all around.
All right. Pick of the week.
I got a pick for you, Shane.
All right.
I got a pick for you. I got a pick for everybody out there, whether you're you know, this just works no matter who you are, if you've got kids, if you don't, single, not, doesn't matter. Disney Plus. It's the new Disney streaming service. Yes, it's been around for a few weeks now, but I kind of was waiting my turn because I really wanted to get this one out there. It's really reasonable. I think it's like, what, $7 a month? Something like that?
Yeah.
So it's real cheap, and it just has everything.
Like, yeah, it's Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic.
Yeah, there's so much there. And one of the things that we have really, really, really enjoyed is being able to introduce my 7-year-old daughter to a bunch of the movies when – you know, I was a kid and a young teen growing up that, you know, it's cool to be able to share that. Like, we watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And,
oh, that's all there.
Yeah, and being Christmas time, we watched, you know, the Home Alone movies. And,
that's all there?
Yeah, they're all Disney, dude. Disney has everything.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, Toy Stories, you know, like, all of these classic movies that you remember, it's so fun to be able to share that with them and watch them, you know. And of course, my absolute favorite has been The Mandalorian, the new Star Wars show. I mean, even aside from the unbearable cuteness of Baby Yoda, the show itself is just so damn good. Like, it is really good. I would venture to say even people that are not into the Star Wars universe or all into that, like, you would still probably like the show. It's good. Like, if you're into, like, Westerns even, it kind of has that kind of a feel, like, yeah. Bounty Hunter type okay. thing. It's really, really great. And also, like, I've never, like, I watched Infinity War, and I've seen Endgame, right? But I've never really seen any other Marvel movies. And so I've been able to start watching them. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy with the family because it was, you know, it's one of the funnier ones. And I'm really seriously loving Disney Plus. Like, I used to, once the family went to bed, right, that was my gaming time. And I'd you know, play RuneScape or whatever until I went to bed. Now I'm playing about maybe an hour of games and actually watching movies, which is something I've never done. That's the pick of the week.
I'm trying to find a list of the catalog.
Oh, it's huge, man. Like, I don't even know where you'd find. I mean, basically, you just type it into search and it is almost always there.
Okay. Yeah, I got a list on Wikipedia. They're doing some original programming too, which is always good.
Let's see how those yes. go. Yeah, I mean, after The Mandalorian, we're going to get an Obi-Wan show. Yeah? Awesome! Obi-Wan! Yeah. Ewan McGregor's coming back for it. I mean, come on. Right?
All right.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
So. And, you know, one thing I'm seeing of this compared to Apple TV... the new Apple TV service is they seem to have a lot more shows on the go and movies than Apple looks to be doing with theirs.
Oh, yeah. There's so many movies, man. Like, there is a lot there. And even in the National Geographic, like, my daughter loves, like, all these vet shows. You'll find them on, like, Animal Planet a lot of times on that okay. channel or whatever. But they're all – I didn't realize it, but they're all National Geographic. So
yeah.
there's a bunch yeah. of these animal shows and these vet shows, and she loves that stuff. So and, hey, I've always been a sucker for National Geographic. I've loved it since it was the yellow – bordered magazines back then. I mean, that was my jam.
They got stuff going back to the 1960s in terms of movies, apparently.
Yeah. There's only one movie from the Disney vault that is not on there. Yeah. Only one.
Which one?
Song of the South. It's not on there.
Oh, I can see why.
Yeah. And they also did something else that I actually applaud Disney for. So they didn't edit the old movies to make them okay for a modern audience necessarily. What they did was they put a label that said, these are products of their time and yeah. of their culture.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Like, I'm glad they didn't mess with the art and what it was. And I think you can teach from that, and it's I just really appreciated that. I like that they did it that way rather than, you know, just chopping up and editing and just
apparently Avatar, you know, falls under the bundle of Disney.
Yes, yes,
I didn't like that movie.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Let's see, too environmentalist for you.
No,
right,
that's
Shay?
Not it.
Okay. No, it's not, it. Not into green or to blue ladies.
Yeah, All right. So Disney Plus, and I've just been scrolling through the list for the last few minutes of the movies, and, you know, you can see that right here with that. So.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's $7 a month. It's one of those that's going to be really easy to pick up and put down, you know, according to whatever you want. But I think there's enough here for me that I'm going to stick with it for...
Gargoyles, a TV show from the 90s?
Oh! DuckTales, dude. DuckTales. I, my daughter never knew what that was. I'm like, why? You never seen DuckTales? So we're playing like all these old cartoons, you know, like, I mean, dude, they even have like Steamboat Willie if you're into like the 40s stuff, you know, like, or 50s or whatever. Like, it's so cool. Yeah.
All right. Disney Plus is the pick of the week. Sounds good. All right. What have we been up to on RS? I'll actually start since you just had the pick of the week. But for me this week, focus on the farming and herbivore stuff, still doing big game hunter, trying to get dinosaur eggs. That's my main thing. And, you know, aside from that, if I had to split it apart, I got something like 150 in invention, I think it was, doing all my cogs on double XP weekend. So there was that too. But that was minor in the grand scheme of things. But what I've really been taking to, and as I alluded to last week when we started, was the Yak Track tasks.
Nice.
They have been guiding my gameplay ever since double XP weekend ended.
Cool.
So I just got finished with mining 500 ore calcite and Dracolith ore.
Okay.
And then that'll get used for later tasks to smith that as well. And there's fun ones too, like farming ones. And then there's some, really weird ones, how you had to drop a coin in the Remington well. So I don't know. I'm just really enjoying the variety of Yak Track. So,
very cool.
I mean, if I was on another podcast, I would probably do Yak Track as pick of the week. Yak Track, dinosaur hunting, Ranch Out of Time, and just ending off from the double XP weekend, doing all those protein items.
Yeah, breeding the shit out of those dinosaurs.
Apparently. Yeah, yeah. So remember, if anybody wants any, talk to me on Discord, Shane1169. Send a DM on Twitter at RSPNB, or just contact me at game, Shane12088. What have you been up to in RS?
You know, I haven't had a real productive week. I hate to say it, but that's pretty much typical.
Too much Disney Plus.
Yeah, I came up about 9 mil short of my 120 thieving over DXP, so I've just been doing some thieving this week. So I should have that within another week or two. That's really what I've and I'm really only thieving from a couple of the elven clans. I'm just because I'm doing it for the potions.
Do you have your totem active that reduces the cooldown?
No, I don't have a totem. I don't have any totems.
Oh, okay, too bad. So, yeah, that one reduces the time nicely on that. So,
yeah, I do have a bunch of the. They're the things you get from safe cracking,
right? The things you can buy for the pilfer points to reset.
Yes.
Yeah, those are good too. Those are good.
Yeah, too. I had a bunch of those. I got a bunch of them from double XP because I was doing safe cracking then, and then once that ran out, then it's been doing elf pickpocketing, nice laid back stuff.
Sounds pretty good. Well, that's it for this week's RSPNB update. Everyone, thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week to talk about smooth movement. That's going to be a fun one.
Smooth.
But if you want to subscribe to the podcast, or on any podcast listener out there, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, YouTube even. YouTube's been a big one for us recently with the Mod Osborne special. So all of that can be found at update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. Just click on your favorite one and you'll be taken there, and you can subscribe to the podcast, get it delivered automatically. And we like subscribers because, you know, the more subscribers we have on iTunes and Play, that means the higher we appear in rankings and whatnot as well. So it's always good to subscribe to the podcast if you enjoy listening to us on one of our platforms. It helps us out, so please do subscribe. update.rsbnb.com/subscribe, and you can find us in our friends chat, Bits Bytes. And with that being said, we'll be back next weekend for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.